Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Jill Robbins, Bruce Alpert, and Mario Ritter. Later, John Russell and Alice Bryant will have this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A United States Navy ship has sailed near a Chinese-controlled coral reef in the South China Sea. The move was the first U.S. test to China's territorial claims in the waterway since President Donald Trump took office. The guided missile destroyer USS Dewey came within 22 kilometers, or 12 nautical miles, of Mischief Reef in the Spratly Islands. China claims Mischief and other reefs in the South China Sea as part of its territory. The United Nations defines territorial waters as extending up to 12 nautical miles from a state's coastline. Chinese officials have sent workers to expand and develop the coral reefs. Satellite images suggest China has set up military bases and sent weapons to some of the new man-made islands. The United States and other nations have criticized China for its island-building activities in the area. The disputed waterway is one of the world's busiest shipping routes. Other countries with territorial claims in the South China Sea are the Philippines, Vietnam, Taiwan, Malaysia, and Brunei. The U.S. military has carried out freedom of navigation operations in the area. They are designed to show military force and demonstrate support for free movement of shipping in international waters. U.S. forces completed at least 4 freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea in recent years. The last one took place in October 2016. A U.S. Defense Department spokesman said in a statement the latest action was a continuation of the operations. U.S. forces would keep operating in the South China Sea to fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows, the statement said. China's foreign ministry protested the naval operation. A foreign ministry official told reporters the U.S. destroyer had trespassed near islands over which China has indisputable sovereignty. He added that such patrols were very likely to cause unexpected sea and air accidents. We urge the U.S. to correct this mistake and stop taking further actions so as to avoid hurting peace and security in the region and long-term cooperation between the two countries, the official said. Earlier this month, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators urged President Trump to restart freedom of navigation operations. The senators described the South China Sea as critical to U.S. national security interests and to peace in the Asia-Pacific area. The appeal came after a meeting in the United States between Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. The U.S. president said the meeting helped them to develop friendly relations. The Trump administration has said it is seeking China's help in dealing with the North Korean nuclear threat. I'm Brian Lynn.
Americans have been fighting over how to create congressional districts since 1789. That was when James Madison was elected to the House of Representatives, although his Virginia district was created to give his opponent the advantage. Madison went on to become President of the United States, as did his opponent in that election, James Monroe. On Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court released a decision in the latest congressional redistricting dispute. Redistricting is the process of redefining congressional districts on a map. Voters within each district elect a representative to the U.S. Congress. The court rejected two congressional districts in the state of North Carolina. The court said race played too large a part in how the districts were created. More African American voters were added to both districts, making them majority black. Those disputing the redistricting said the result weakened black voting strength in other parts of North Carolina.
Every 10 years, the U.S. government carries out a census that counts the number of people living in all 50 states. After the census, each state develops new district lines for the House of Representatives and state legislatures to reflect the new population numbers. Common Cause is an activist group that supports measures to have independent commissions create districts. That would be a change from the current system. Most states now permit the political party that controls state government to create district lines. That gives the majority party's candidates an advantage, according to Common Cause. There are now more state governments controlled by Republicans than Democrats. The Brennan Center, a democracy and justice group in New York, says this has given Republicans an advantage. The group says the benefits provided Republicans are worth 16 to 17 seats to the current Republican majority in the 435-member House of Representatives.
Developing district lines to give one political party an advantage is known as gerrymandering. That term was created in 1812 to make fun of a congressional district approved by Massachusetts Governor Elbridge Gerry. Some said the 1812 Massachusetts district looked like a salamander, a lizard-like animal that lives in water and on land. Supreme Court Justice Elaine Kagan wrote the recent decision in the North Carolina redistricting case. She said states cannot make race a primary reason for creating district lines, as she said was the case in North Carolina. Republicans, who controlled the redistricting process in North Carolina, said they were guided by politics, not race. Their goal, Republicans said in a legal paper, was to make strong Democratic districts even stronger, so Republican candidates in nearby districts would do better. The Supreme Court may take up the question of how much politics can affect redistricting next year, said Justin Levitt. He is a law professor at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles, California. There's no other major Western democracy that lets incumbents draw their own district lines as we do, and that's the source of a lot of the problems we encounter, he said.
The Brennan Center for Justice said six states use independent commissions to create district lines, but most others let state legislators and governors create districts. Eric Holder is the former attorney general under President Barack Obama. He is now the leader of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, which backed the legal challenge that led to Tuesday's Supreme Court decision. North Carolina's maps were among the worst racial gerrymanders in the nation, Holder said. Robin Hayes is chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party. Hayes complained that it is difficult for legislatures to create district lines when courts constantly change rules from case to case, often after the fact. The Supreme Court ruling criticized how North Carolina creates districts, but the two districts considered by the court were already changed as a result of earlier court rulings.
The size of the House of Representatives districts has grown as America's population has increased. In 1790, each of the 110 members of the House of Representatives represented about 34,000 residents. Today, there are 435 House members, with districts of about 711,000 people each. Congress is divided into two bodies, the House of Representatives and the Senate. The number of House members in each state is based on population. In the Senate, each state has two senators, regardless of population. So California, with a population of 39.2 million, has the same number of senators as Wyoming, with about 585,000 residents. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Bruce Alpert.
A Chinese student has apologized after she received heavy criticism for a graduation speech she gave in the American state of Maryland. Yang Shuping gave the speech at the University of Maryland on Monday. A video of her comments was posted on the internet. The video has been played more than 50,000 times on the YouTube website. In her prepared comments, Yang talked about breathing the fresh air of free speech after arriving in the United States to study. She described arriving in the U.S. this way. The air was so sweet and fresh and utterly luxurious. The moment I inhaled and exhaled outside the airport, I felt free, Young said. She added, I grew up in a city in China where I had to wear face masks every time I went outside, otherwise I might get sick. Radio Free Asia reports that the video of her speech appears on China's Sina Weibo social media website. By Tuesday afternoon, it said, the site's users had played the video more than 56 million times. Many users accused the Chinese woman of unfairly criticizing the shortcomings of her home country. Yang wrote an apology that appeared in the Chinese newspapers Global Times and the state-operated People's Daily. In it, she said, I love my country and hometown and am proud of its prosperity. She went on to write that, I also hope to make contributions to it with what I have learned overseas. Yi Suleiman Gu is a Chinese student at the University of Georgia. He said Yang was considered to be insulting China according to the received consensus of patriotic Chinese students overseas. He voiced support for her comments, saying, Yang Shuping's comments were, in fact, a comment on the necessity of freedom of expression and citizen participation in politics. Xia Ming teaches political science at the College of Staten Island in New York. He said Chinese state media seek to project an image of a rising world power. So, when they are faced with criticism, they get angry, he added. The University of Maryland called for understanding. In a statement, the school said, Listening to and respectfully engaging with those whom we disagree are essential skills both within university walls and beyond. Chinese state-operated media published criticism of the video. The People's Daily website showed a story about criticism of Yang's speech as its most viewed news story on Tuesday. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is What's Trending Today. Diana Bloom from the American state of Virginia posted a photo on Twitter last week that is getting a lot of attention right now. It has thousands of likes and retweets. The photo shows one page of her high school yearbook. In the United States, high schools and universities put out a yearbook at the end of each school year. The book is a way to remember the school year. Yearbooks usually have photos of all the students, teachers, and staff members. They include photos of sports teams, clubs, special events, and other important moments. Often, when a person grows up to be famous, their yearbook photos are used to show they were once a normal high school student. But the Stafford High School yearbook is already special. It includes the photo of Alpha Schalk. Why is the photo getting so much attention? Alpha Schalk is a dog. Alpha belongs to Stafford High student Andrew Schalk. Alpha helps Andrew remember to take medicine for a disease called diabetes. People with type 1 diabetes do not process the sugar they consume like everyone else. They must take medicine every day to control the amount of sugar in their blood. Alpha helps Andrew remember to take his medication, sometimes waking him up at night. Alpha goes to school with Andrew each day, and all the other students enjoy seeing him. Shalk told BuzzFeed, "It brightens people's days seeing him." When it came time to take photos for the yearbook, it seemed natural to take a photo of Alpha, too. After all, the dog has his own school identification card. Andrew said the photographer lowered the camera for the dog. "He has been a great companion," Andrew said. Dog lovers are calling Alpha's yearbook photo cute and precious. One person wrote, "This made my whole day." And that's what's trending today.
Imagine you are watching the 1991 American film City Slickers. It tells the story of an unhappy man and two of his friends. The men agree they need a short break from their day-to-day problems. So, they decide to go on a trip to the southwestern United States. In the movie, you hear the following lines.
"When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s?
Our report today is not about aging. Instead, it is about a strange verb, make. Have you ever wondered about the verb make? Have you noticed that it has different meanings in different situations? On Everyday Grammar, we will explore three meanings of the word make. We will learn how make has different meanings depending on the noun phrase that follows it in a sentence.
Make is an irregular verb. Unlike many other verbs, the past tense is not formed by adding an ed at the end. Instead, the past tense is made. The literal meaning of make is to produce or create something. However, this meaning is not common in everyday speech. Instead, English speakers often use make to suggest different meanings. They show these meanings by using one of a number of noun phrases after the verb. Together, these make plus noun phrase structures have an idiomatic meaning. In other words, the structure make plus a noun phrase often has a meaning other than what the individual words suggest. There are many different meanings of the structure make plus a noun phrase. Two grammar experts, Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber, have identified over one dozen commonly used make plus noun phrase expressions. Today, we will study three of them. These structures are all polite and can be used in almost any situation. At school, at work, or among friends and family.
One common meaning of make is this: to perform an action. Make has this meaning when it is followed by a noun phrase such as the bed or a telephone call. Here are two examples. You might hear a parent tell a child,
"You need to make your bed."
Or you might hear someone say,
"I would like to make a phone call."
In both examples, the verb make suggests performing an action. So, when an English speaker says, "make the bed," he or she means to perform the action of straightening the bed cover and sheets. When someone says, "make a phone call," he or she means the act of going to the phone, calling the number, and speaking to another person.
A second meaning of the verb make is to plan or decide to do something. Make has this meaning when followed by a noun phrase such as an appointment, plans to, or a decision to. Imagine you hear this short phone call.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Smith's office.
Good afternoon. I would like to make an appointment with Dr. Smith.
I'm sorry. He's not available until Friday. Would you like to make an appointment for this Friday?
I don't think that will work. I've already made plans to go out of town.
In the exchange, you heard two examples of make plus a noun phrase. The words make an appointment mean to plan to meet with another person. When the speaker says, "I've already made plans to go out of town," what she means is that she has already decided to do something, go out of town. You will hear this structure often in other situations, such as in a news report or on a television show. Almost every day, news agencies report, "The president has made a decision to," or "The committee has made plans to." Now you know that they have the basic meaning of planning or deciding to do something.
A third common meaning of make is this: to earn money. Make has this meaning when followed by noun phrases such as a living, money, or a profit. So, for example, a student might say, "Now that I've finished school, I have to make a living." A business person might explain to a financial specialist, "My business made a profit last year." In both cases, make means the act of earning money. There was an example of this meaning at the beginning of our report.
When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, "What happened to my 20s?
Now that you have learned about a few meanings of the verb make, you will have to make an attempt to learn a few other possible meanings of it. The next time you are watching an American film or television broadcast, try to find examples of make plus a noun phrase. Ask yourself how the speakers are using make and what nouns or noun phrases go with the verb. Learning these idiomatic meanings of make is not easy. However, with training and effort, you can make progress. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.